Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Last time on Through the Bible, we learned the important first steps towards revival. Today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us through the remaining steps as our in-depth study of 2 Chronicles continues. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for another great study in God's Word. Now, as you grab your Bible and you find your spot, let's welcome Through the Bible's president and my friend, Greg Harris. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Steve.
What's on your mind today?
Well, today I want to talk about our core values, and we have a list. We do this about every month or so. We like to share the core values because they're not some abstractions. They actually guide what we do day to day. But in a way, maybe this is the core value that we want to talk about today, right? We are through the Bible, I think.
Yes. So, going through the whole Word of God, chapter by chapter, and oftentimes verse by verse.
And the whole Word for the whole world.
Yep.
So let's talk about why we are so committed to the Word of God, and who better to hear from than our communications team has done a wonderful thing. They pulled a bunch of great quotes from Dr. McGee. Why don't you share one that you like?
Yeah, the first one that I particularly like is from Guidelines, which is the beginning foundation. If you ever go through the Bible before Genesis, he goes through, I think it's 10 messages.
Yes.
He says there, the Spirit of God has to open our minds and hearts if we are to understand the spiritual truths of the Bible.
Hmm. Well, while we're in Guidelines, I'll say this one. The Bible alone furnishes the only sure route through this world and on into the next world. And really, Steve, when the letters that we get here in North America and around the world, we often hear that theme that Dr. McGee is highlighting, which is, I was lost, or I had a tough time in my life, and the Bible has, and more importantly, the Bible's pointed me to Jesus Christ, and now He is my way.
Yeah. And what believer doesn't want to see revival happen in our country? And here's a great quote that supports that. Dr. McGee says, we cannot have real revival unless it's based on a thorough knowledge of the Bible. And that's in 2 Chronicles that he says that.
Mm. Okay, here's one from Leviticus. And I have to tell you, I've never been around a ministry other than through the Bible where I've heard so many testimonies of people getting saved from the teaching of Leviticus.
Yeah.
This is Dr. McGee, I think, has been given a real gift to teach that book. A departure from the Word of God always leads into error.
Yep, I think that's so true. And then here's another one from Guidelines. The most important thing is to know the will of God, and the will of God is the Word of God. So if you want to know what God has for your life, if you're trying to figure that thing out, get yourself into the Word of God. You can do it through the Bible, but just open the Bible and read it yourself.
Yeah, and here's one similar theme of what you just shared, the quote. The Bible is God's communication to man. This is great. This is classic Dr. McGee. If he spoke out of heaven right now, he would just repeat himself. I just love that.
Yeah, I remember when he said that. Here's another one from Genesis. The Word of God is powerful, and God is looking for clean vessels through whom he can give it out. And if that's not convicting to how you live your life, I don't know what would be.
Ouch. Okay, let's move on. Here's a great one. This one I think all of us can relate to. He taught this in the book of Acts. Get your eyes off other Christians, because we all have feet of clay. Get your eyes on the Word of God and learn what God has to say.
Hmm. Does that rhyme?
I think I actually misread it and turned it into a poem.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Because Dr. McGee loved poems.
He did love poems. Yeah. He was a great poet.
Okay. Here's another one from the book of Acts. Wherever the Word of God is preached, there will be those who listen and believe. And that should be an encouragement. If you feel like, you know what, the Word of God just isn't happening. And that's one of the things we've talked about with Through the Bible, that, you know, you may not see a lot of, your missionaries as an example, may not see a lot of fruit, but you can always tune into Through the Bible. And because the ministry is so large and happening in so many different areas, there's always fruit coming in from the ministry. And it's so encouraging. And it encourages me then to pray more effectively for the missionaries that we support.
Yes.
Because they're having fruit too, just at a different level.
Yeah. Well, Steve, I think we're out of time. We have so many other quotes I'd love for us to share.
Let me pray for us, Greg, as we begin. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for just the way you used Dr. McGee originally to teach through the Bible, and how these programs have been preserved and we can give it out faithfully. I pray that the whole word would go to the whole world, that you continue to bless the ministry of Through the Bible. I pray that as we go into our study today, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would convict us of sin and guide and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back here to 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 13. Now, you will recall that we are talking about the revival that took place under the reign of Asa. Asa led in the first revival. He was a man, actually, at the very beginning, a man of great integrity. He was an outstanding man. He brought back the Word of God. But he always didn't continue in that connection. Now, we mentioned last time, and I think we should move on in this particular section here, that this man Asa, and I'll begin reading now at verse 13 of chapter 15, and if you have your Bible, we'll follow there, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. They swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. May I say that this was making it, I think, very harsh, but yet there was a ready response to it, and a response from the heart, by the way. And this man, Asa, brought about many reforms at that time. Now, in verse 14, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And our whole thought last time was that if you seek the Lord, why, it means that he'll be found of you. Now we come to something here that is quite interesting. We've been talking about there are certain bridges to revival. The first bridge is there must be a knowledge of the Word of God. There must be that emphasis upon the Word of God. That is all important. We come here to a second bridge, and that is scriptural separation. That word separation is one of the most abused, not only words, but teachings that we have. Now listen to him here in verse 16. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. Now, this is indeed interesting. His own mother was engaged in idolatry. Now, I want you to notice something that's very important. She wasn't a friend of people who were engaged in idolatry. She was engaged in idolatry. That's the reason that he put her aside. Now, if she had had friends and she had been with them and they were idolatrous, that would have been no basis to set her aside. I get a little weary today of these people that because you happen to have been in a meeting years ago with someone whose methods you probably do not approve, but he's preaching the Word of God and God's blessing him, why, they feel like that you're not separated. My friend, may I say that today? That's not scriptural separation at all. But I want you to notice the stand of Asa. Now, every successful politician, he lets it be known. That is, he lets all the voters know that he's for mother love. And I tell you, you won't get in any controversy if you raise the question of mother love. The last person a man will turn against is his mother. And mother love is unanimously recognized today. It's approved and applauded. And a man who turns against his mother, no matter who she is or what she's done, he's some sort of a villain. Well, Asa removed his mother. And I'm sure that some of the fundamentalists applauded him for that. But will you notice here that although he put his mother out for engaging in idolatry, removed her from the throne, the place of influence, something else. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, Asa himself, you see, was separated unto God, but he permitted these high places. Now, he could have removed them, but he did not. This idea today, that we're to straighten out the world and every individual and make them conform to our pattern and come through our little wicket gate is, I think, not separation at all. I think it is the narrowest form of bigotry that we have today, and it's actually not separation. I feel like some folk today ought to get separated from themselves, and that would really be separation. If you want a revival, the place to begin is not by criticizing the other fella, especially somebody God's using. The thing to do, if you want revival, is not to look at the other fellas, for you to get in a room by yourself and draw a circle right around you, get in the middle of the room. Then you get right in the middle of that circle, and you say, Lord, begin a revival and let it begin inside this circle. And friends, as far as you and I are concerned, that is where revival will have to start. Now, will you notice, and we move on down into this 16th chapter here, we find in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. In other words, Baasha wanted to keep his people in his own kingdom up there and didn't want them to go down into Israel, that is, into Judah, where there was a revival going on. Now we are told, verse 2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, sent the captains of his armies against the city of Israel. And so the thing that happened was this. Verse 6, then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Here is this man now, that when Israel became a very formidable enemy, why, he turned to a former ally that they had had, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And what did that indicate? Well, God sent a prophet to Asa to rebuke him. Verse 7, now of chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now God judges Asa for what? For lack of faith. And the third bridge I think we have to cross to revival is faith. Faith in God. Not faith in methods. Not faith in a man. Not faith in a church, not faith in a system, not faith in an organization, but faith in God. Now notice this. There was civil war between Baasha, king of Israel, and he came up against Asa. Now Asa turned to Ben-Hadad of Syria, the ancient enemy. And this man, as Hanani reminded him, he says, you have evidence from God that God will deliver you. And he reminds him of the two instances in the past when the Ethiopians and the Lubans came up against him. God delivered them into his hand. Now, this man, at this moment, there's a lack of faith. You see, it's not only one act of faith that saves us. That's important. That's what justification by faith is. The moment that you put your trust in Christ, you're saved. But my friend, we're to live by faith. Paul, you remember, says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And then he uses one of the strangest expressions that, frankly, that is imaginable. He says, for therein is a righteousness of God revealed out of faith to faith, or from faith to faith. Now, what does he mean by from faith to faith? He means you're saved by faith and you're to live by faith. And I think very candidly, the eyes of the Lord, he says here, running to and fro in the earth. God's looking for a man today who will believe him, or a woman who will believe him. By the way, would you like to be that person who would believe God? Not become a fanatic, but on good, solid testimony, believe God. Well, you couldn't even come to him and please him without faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And we today have a great company of witnesses. We're compassed about, the writer to the Hebrews says in 12:1, by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, because of that, let us run with patience the race that is set before, laying aside the sin. What sin is it? Unbelief. Let's not only be saved by faith, friends, let's live by it. You know, many of us live like agnostics, and yet we're, I think, saved. Well, will you notice this? Verse 10, then Asa was wroth with the seer, put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. Now, this is amazing. This man would not accept that rebuke. Why? He didn't believe it. He didn't believe God either. And he had no real faith and dependence on God. Living without God means actually spiritual death for us. Be no way in the world for us to be used of God. Now, will you notice? God struck him with a disease. And you will notice in verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now I want you to notice that. Now his disease became serious. His case was critical. And there's nothing wrong in going to the doctor. That's not the point. The writer here says he didn't turn to God in all of this. And I think it's just as important for a believer to go to God when you get sick as it is to call a doctor. I not only believe that, I think I'm a walking proof of that today. It's wrong in not going to God. It wasn't that there's something wrong in going to the doctor. There was something wrong in not going to God. He didn't turn to God at this time. May I say, when it was discovered that I had cancer, I went to the finest cancer specialist in Southern California, in our entire area. And I love the man. He's certainly done wonders for me. But he himself said it was God healed me. He's a Christian. He very candidly says that. And it's a remarkable case. Now, I'm not completely healed. I still have it. It's a misnomer to say I've been healed. But the spots have disappeared. But the point I want to make is that immediately when it was discovered I had it, I not only went to the doctor, I went to God in prayer. I tell you. And I not only did that, I went on this radio. And on every station we were on at the time, I said to friends, pray for me. And I didn't go to a faith healer. I went to God with it. I went to the great physician. My friend, I feel that there are two things when you get sick you ought to do. You ought to call the doctor, and you ought to call upon God. And did you know that there was a man that I think he's probably one of the most practical men that we have in the Bible? You know that's what he said to do? He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And that's one thing, prayer. And then anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now that word anoint there is not the word that is ceremonial. This is not religious act. This is medicinal. Let him anoint him with oil. In other words, James says when you get sick, ask for prayer and call a doctor. And there's nothing quite as practical as that, my beloved. Now, the difficulty with Asa was he called a doctor, didn't call upon God. Now, here's a man that has experienced revival, and yet he's not walking with God here. He's not believing God. My friends, there must be faith in God that takes our problems, our difficulties to the Lord, and turns them over to him and accept whatever answer he gives us, because he hears and answers prayer but he hears it and answers it his way. And you can be sure of one thing, if you turn it over to him, you're going to get his will. And if you get his will, you get the best answer that you can get. In fact, lots better than sometimes we pray the prayer. Now, will you notice? And Asa slept with his fathers, and he died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors, divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. They burned a lot of candles for him. Now, may I say this is Asa. It was a touch of revival. Now we're coming in the 17th chapter to the second great revival period, and it was much greater than the revival of Asa. It's the son of Asa now, Jehoshaphat. And this man was marvelously used of God and brought a great revival. Now, I want you to notice this because I think that it's very important, because these are great revivals, and it's in the book of Chronicles, and this is the book that gives us God's viewpoint. This is what God thought was important during the reign of these men. Now, this entire period was the revivals. Now, verse 1, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel, that against the enemy in the north. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and he set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now, he took precautions to protect his kingdom. Now listen to this. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and he sought not unto Balaam. But you notice it says he walked in the first ways of his father, not the way that Asa became in his old age, but when he was a young king, trusting God, God used him. Now Jehoshaphat, a young king, he trusts in the Lord. He sought to the Lord God of his father, walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Now listen to this. This is a tremendous testimony. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places, groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, and so on. I'm not going into that detail. Now will you notice? And then he sent Levites throughout the kingdom. And what did they do? Verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. And he went about through all the cities of Judah and taught the people. You know what he did? He started a Through the Bible radio program. That's what Jehoshaphat did. And you want to know what that J in my name stands for? I signed my name J. Vernon McGee. And a great many people always ask me what the J stands for. And I generally give a very facetious answer. And so I'll give you one. It stands for Jehoshaphat, because he's the first one that started a Through the Bible program. He sent the Levites. They didn't have radio. You can sit in a studio like I am now and make a tape. That's not the way he did it. He sent the Levites out, not just 150 of them, but thousands of them throughout the kingdom to teach the Word of God. My friend, that's the way of revival. And until today, the church gets back to the Word of God, there'll be no real revival. The moving that's taking place outside of the organized church, it will eventually come to naught unless it's anchored in the Word of God. Now, some of it is anchored in the Word of God. I thank God for that. I could tell you some wonderful things happening today outside of the organized church. I can tell you some wonderful things happening inside the organized church. And in both instances, it's all rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That is what brings revival. This is the revival of Jehoshaphat. And next time, we're going to take a good long look at the revival during this man's reign. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Now,
Next time, we're back on the road through our study in 2 Chronicles. Until then, if you need to reach us, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or email us at biblebus@ttb.org or just visit our website, ttb.org. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE or ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving you a seat as the Bible bus rolls along.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Our story on the Bible bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Listen up, everybody! You know when somebody's trying to get my attention, they seem to go, hey! That's what me and my boy Ty Trevor is going to do! We're going to remind you to praise God at all times, because he's been just that good! Oh, come on! Hey!
Come on!
If I had 10,000 tongues, I would praise you with every 1 + 2, because you...
Listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings, greetings, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday sharp. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, we praise the Lord once again. We thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this glorious opportunity to come into your homes and nursing homes, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep in mind that we are the church in the city with the city in his heart. We love you. We thank the Lord for you. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in radio land, those that correspond with us. I just want to ask the Lord's blessing to be upon you continuously. Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, first of all, Lord, we give honor unto our Lord who is Lord of all. I pray this morning that my faith partners and radio listeners and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that faith will come and rise up in their hearts, that they will turn their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Bless them today. Bless each and every brother and sister in Christ. Bless the pastors, ministers that are ministering to the precious sheep of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And to you, Lord, and only you be the glory, the honor, and the praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. We want to look at what the Word of God says today. The subject that I want to speak on today for just a little bit is the atoning sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the propitiation for our sins. And most of the time we continue to mention about the blessings and all of the things that satisfy the physical man. But I want to tell you today that there's something greater than that, and that is the Spirit of the living God. Folks being born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus loves you. He came and he died for you that he might give his life to you, that he might live his life through you. So the most important thing here is that get your heart right with Jesus. It's not difficult. It takes just a step of faith to believe and trust in what he has done for us all on Calvary's cross. The blood was shed for all humanity. And we must keep in mind that it's not hard to call on the name of the Lord. It's just that the clinging vines of sin has hung on society where they refuse to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that they would be saved. But the point I'm trying to convey today to all that are tuned into the broadcast, this is not just for saints, it's for sinners as well, folks that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today that he and he alone made the sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. I said he is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. In the counsel of God, he knew exactly what was going on and that he would have to send his son, Jesus, to redeem mankind by back to him. Well, I asked the question today, do you want to get back home? Do you want to go back to be with the Lord Jesus Christ? We came out of God. He allowed us to come into this earth realm so that we can carry out his divine purpose with the understanding that we are to minister and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone that is saved is to preach God's gospel and tell folks about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. Grace is for everybody. The goodness of God that's been given to undeserving people. And I tell you today that all we have to do and all what God expects us to do is to receive what his son Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross. The cross is most important because without the cross of Jesus Christ, there will be no salvation. There will be no deliverance. There will be no healing. There will be nothing. But thank God for the blood that was shed there on Calvary's cross. And I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins. And when we look at what the Word of God says, we can call on him at any moment. He's right there, right where you are. You don't have to be in a cathedral or some church building to call on the name of the Lord. All you need to do with an honest heart and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit being convicting you of your sins, you cry out to a holy and righteous God, and he will save you. Praise God. We want to look at, first of all, in 1 John 2 and verse 2, Jesus didn't just die for the righteous, folks. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. You see, we all were sinners. And he came for us. He came for me. He came for you. Glory to God. And I tell you, maybe at that point in time that I thought that I wasn't ready, but because of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, wound into my heart, I cry out to the holy and righteous God, Lord, save me, change me, take my life, and do something with it, praise God, because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, praise God. The Word tells us that what he's done, that he came into this world to reprove men of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This thing has nothing to do with some religious activity that goes on. It's heart, the heart that God's looking at. Praise the Lord. It's the heart that God wants to change. It's the heart that God sees every day. No matter what we're doing, he's looking at your heart. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says here. In Minister Glory, I'd like for you to read in 1 John 2 and verse 2. Glory to God. So all of folks out there in Radio Land, we realize that Jesus Christ, he was the atoning sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. Without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you are nothing. Without him, you are on your way to a devil's hell. But I want to tell you today, the good news is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came for you and for me.
Praise the Lord. And he, that's Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Isn't that wonderful? He is the atoning sacrifice. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sin of the whole world. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me tell you something today out there in Radio Land, those that have tuned in to this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, this broadcast, praise the Lord, that Jesus, the propitiation for our sins, that's who he is, that's the atoning sacrifice. He didn't didn't come for just the righteous. He came for us all. Praise God. And we don't have an excuse. None of us have an excuse. If we close our eyes in a moment's notice and cross over into eternity. But I pray to God that you will have Jesus as your escort. You would have the Lord Jesus Christ, not going into a Christless eternity, but going into eternity with Jesus, because he is the perfect sacrifice. When I say perfect, I mean he is the Lamb of God that came into this world to save us from our sins. Now let's look at this scripture very closely. The propitiation, that's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Can you imagine that for a moment? He died for the whole world. But it does not mean that the whole world is saved. There has to be an active acceptance of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us all. Praise God. We have to call upon his name, ask him to come into our hearts and change our hearts, because all of us, our hearts wicked. But we need the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and change our lives. So John is saying here that he is present reality, that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only. That means, and that's very important there, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. I said the whole world lied in sin. But Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. And if you call on him today and ask him to come into your heart, he will come in. He's right there, right where you are. And if you believe in your heart that you are a sinner, and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I don't mean someone that thinks that they are self-righteous. I'm speaking of ones that have been convicted through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you are going to come to God. The Bible tells us that no man, no woman can come unto God except he that sent him draw him, and he'll raise him up in the last day. Minister Gloria?
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the answer to all mankind's problems.
Yes.
Many people are in hot pursuit of the things of this world, looking for a better job, looking for a bigger house, looking for beautiful cars and all these things. But I want to tell you today that they mean nothing if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you today that Jesus Christ, he is the answer to all of our problems. No matter what they may be, he is the answer and will always be the answer. Praise God. You have no excuse. If you were to exit this world today in a moment's notice and cross over into eternity, and on the day that God will call you up to stand before him, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no excuse, because God made provisions for us all by sending forth his son Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. Now John says that he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That means that you have a choice, the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your heart right and be saved by the grace of God. Let's look at the word of God in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. You see, we don't have an excuse. We can't stand before God and tell him, well, I went to church, I read my Bible, and not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you stand before God, I pray that you will know him, that he will be who you said that he is in your life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Minister Glory, would you read that and let everybody know that Jesus Christ is the only way back to the Father. It's not through any other means other than coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to get back home. He is the vehicle to get back home. He is the mediator between man and God, Jesus Christ. He stands there, and in order for you to get to the Father, you must come through the Son of the living God.
Yes, it says, for he, God, had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Praise the Lord. Jesus, the scripture is telling us through Apostle Paul, is writing to the church. This is a second epistle to the church of Corinth, and he's explaining to them that the Lord Jesus Christ was made a sin offering. He never sinned. He was made a sin offering for us all. Praise God. The Father did this. He sacrificed his Son to be a sin offering for us all. That through Jesus, and only Jesus, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's why I say today, all that are tuning to this broadcast, you don't have no excuse. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be lost eternally. But if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your sacrifice, perfect sacrifice, as your substitute, the one that took your place. Because the scripture tells us, he who knew no sin was made a sin offering for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Praise God. Look at the exchange that took place. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He took our old filthy garments and gave us a robe of righteousness. He changed our lives to one that believe and have received him as Lord and Savior of their lives. This is not a religious thing. This is a relationship, an acceptance of the one that makes the difference, the one that will change your life if you believe and trust in him and receive him into your heart. God the Father did this. He made the Son a sacrifice. Made him a sin offering, that you and I can have the righteousness of God in him. This is why I say today that you stand without an excuse. If you were to cross over into eternity, Jesus Christ is the one I pray that you will be in him. He who knew no sin was made a sin offering. He is the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice. In the counsel of God, before the world ever was established, Jesus Christ died for the sin of humanity. God made him a sin offering, Minister Gloria,
yes,
that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In him. A lot of folks will say, well, listen, the epistles of Apostle Paul was never written to sinners. It was written to the church. But the most important thing is that the opportunity also is for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that can cry out to God through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts, and stand in righteousness.
Amen.
Only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many times people have made things so difficult and say, well, listen, you have to do this and you have to do that in order to be saved. The scripture tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works. It's just a gift of God. Lest any man boast. I want to tell you today that the gift came because the Father sacrificed his Son, so that you and I would have a place in eternity with God the Father. The scripture tells us, Minister Glory, that Jesus is the way. That Jesus, he is the mediator. If you want to get back home, you have to come to the one that's the mediator between God and man, his the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, folks are sitting in churches today and they're doing all kinds of things here that they may feel that because you're darting the doors of a church building and you're coming inside and so forth, that you're part of the body of Christ. But I want to tell you today that the only way, excuse me, that you be part of the body of Christ is that you have to receive Christ.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You have to receive Christ. And when you receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, then you're part of the body. I tell you today, there's so much that's going on that it begs for a description, because folks that are sitting in churches, and I'm quite sure I don't know everybody, but I'll say this much. There are a lot of folks there that they just gone through religious activity, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to know him. If Apostle Paul was saying there, and he said that he may know him, have that intimate relationship with him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable even unto death. I want to tell you today that you have the opportunity. God the Father has made that opportunity for you by sacrificing his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Minister Gloria, it's a wonderful time that we can stand today without any reservation and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many countries that folks cannot call on Jesus in a public forum, or they cannot worship the Lord Jesus Christ the way that they want to. There's the persecuted church. There's the underground church. Folks are hiding. They want to worship God, but because of the governmental restrictions, they're not able to do it. But here in this country, we have a Bible in every hotel.
Amen.
Amen. We're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached everywhere, social media, and folks are still walking around rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't want to hear about the one that came gave his life for you. But the Bible tells us that in John 1 verse 9 that if you confess your sins, oh my God, if we confess our sins,
he is faithful and just
go ahead,
to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Now the word of God tells us there that there has been a great deal of discussion between, well, who was John talking about? Mm-hmm. Was he talking about this was for the sinners or this is for a child of God? Well, I want to tell you it's for a child of God, but also you confess your sins. He said if you confess your sins, if you say them, glory to God, that he's faithful and just to forgive you for all of them and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Sure, that's for the church, all of us. But I want to tell you that a person that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if he confess his sin before God, I don't mean getting into some cubicle there and tell a man about your sin. I'm talking about talking to God and say, Lord, I confess my sin before you and only you. And he said that he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want to say something for a moment here that, listen, Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. That was the sin that every one of us had committed. But I'm going to tell you the acts of sin here is if you confess him, he will forgive you. Well, our time is slowly slipping away here. I want to just say something for a moment because it takes time to even explain some of the things that I'm talking about. But I want to give you an understanding and ask you to just stay tuned for this extended invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ has made possible for you all out there in Radio Land, Minister Gloria.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith. Amen.
You don't have any problem. God the Father has made it possible for you to receive his Son. Open up your heart and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. God bless you all out there. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Out.